And when you tell me that, you know, he should testify because he's going to tell the truth and he shouldn't worry, well, that's so silly because it's somebody's version of the truth, not the truth. He didn't have a conversation.
Truth is truth.
About,
I don't mean to go like...
It isn't truth. Truth isn't truth. The President of the United States says, I didn't...
Truth isn't truth. Mr. Mayor, do you realize what...
No.
This is going to become a bad
meme. Don't do this to me.
Don't do truth isn't truth
Donald Trump,
to me.
What is happening?
Yeah, we have more of that, right? A little bit. Let's play a little bit more. I want him to fill out the context of it, because I kind of understand, in a weird way, I'm starting to speak Giuliani.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fluent in Trump yet, but I'm starting to speak a little bit of Giuliani, which is kind of, it's the easier of the unromance languages.
Donald Trump says, I didn't talk about Flynn with Comey. Comey says, you did talk about it. So tell me what the truth is.
Don McGahn might
know. If you're such a genius, Don McGahn doesn't know. If that's the situation,
okay.
They have two pieces of evidence. Trump says, I didn't tell him, and the other guy says that he did say it. Which is the truth?
Okay, I'm going to bring A.B. Stoddard in here.
Maybe she can explain.
Real Clear Politics. I'm going to try a couple different... I'm just going to try this a couple different ways. Okay, A.B., you ready?
Yep.
I think... What Rudy Giuliani, I've become the Rudy speaker, or the Rudy whisperer, I think I can figure this out. He's trying to say that people, and he said, she said, people may interpret whether or not he said it was the Russians or it wasn't the Russians in different ways. So they may be confused about the contraction of the NT, like the wasn't or was it. Was, did he say not or red? Sometimes you do that. Wait, are you coming or are you not coming? I don't remember what you said. Are you coming to the party or not?
Right.
I'm not coming. Maybe I missed a word. He's trying to create so much fog and haze around this. And now, did you see this? That Trump just told the Reuters News Service that even if I'm telling the truth, that makes me a liar, which obviously is part of this whole thing. And he told the Reuters News Service that, he wasn't going to interfere in this investigation, this Mueller investigation, but he could run it if he wanted to.
That is, when I read that, I thought, okay, we've had a long day, but you guys wouldn't call me and put me on until he said he was going to run the Mueller investigation himself. You're waiting for that.
Yeah. That's kind of like, let me just try this one on for size. That's sort of like Al Capone saying, I'm going to handle this trial. You move over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I got my own guys we got to handle. Now, the thing is, people always like to say, well, they tried the same thing with the special counsel in the Clinton probe. Well, you got to remember, the Clinton probe was started by Republicans against a Democrat.
Yep.
Right? This was, and that started this whole partisan, there had been a partisan war going back, years and years and years and years, but that really amped up and it changed the dynamics of partisan warfare in Washington. This was started by Republicans. This is a Republican Justice Department that is still pursuing this, right? And a Republican Congress, a Republican Senate. This is not, and the Senate still says, hey, you know what? We're still looking. I mean, this isn't the same situation.
No, it's not the same. And also, we've just never been in this no man's land where you have someone like Rudy Giuliani who spent his career, building a reputation, burnishing his credentials and his legitimacy, and is now openly coming on television to do these public barf sessions where he jumbles all these words together and none of it makes sense. And you can tell that he doesn't care because it's all for Trump. And it's to the end that the president's goal is no one believes anything except what you read in my rage filled Twitter feed. And my babbling on in my tweets. I mean, there's no other truth. And so he literally has Rudy Giuliani, of all people, who I can remember in 2016 being interviewed, and I can't remember if it was CNN or MSNBC, and they said, are you going to endorse him? And he said, I don't know if I'm going to endorse him. He's my friend. But, just 2 years ago, this man was trying to preserve his reputation. And now he's out there saying everything. Basically, he said to Chuck Todd, before he used the words, there's no truth, isn't truth, whatever, he's basically saying, no, you know, whatever, Donald Trump is going to say what he wants, and it's very likely not going to be the truth, and so I can't let him testify. And then Donald Trump sort of affirmed that to Reuters today, that it's my, you know, what my version of the story goes, I'm always going to say it's true, I'm going to tell my voters it's true, and then someone's going to come back, and how dare they? They're going to tell me that it's not truth, and apparently I'm going to trap myself in perjury, and it's and like, let's just repeat for the 100th time what we keep saying, which is they were never going to talk to Mueller. This is all a joke anyway.
Well, can you explain something to me, AB? I'd love to.
Oh, please, I can't wait. I want anybody to explain anything to me right now.
But the thing is, every time some people, you know, Rudy Giuliani earned a lot of people's respect post 9/11, and he understands the media game as well as anybody does. Is there a strategy in this sort of word saladness that you just described, or is it just kind of all over the board because the president is all over the board and it's hard to keep track of what he's saying? What is he doing out there? Because it doesn't seem to be helping.
All right. Well, the Trump Tower meeting details continue to change, and that, I think, is an effort to get out, you know, in front of things coming out. So he says stuff like that, and then he contradicts himself. But it's sort of a way of, like, if you hear this version of the story, you've heard me talk, you know, you've heard me going on and on about it before, and I've mentioned that. But again, as you know, as we've seen in all these interviews, is he's willing to contradict himself either in the next interview or during the same interview, which is very Trumpian, and that's what the president often does.
Yeah.
And so,
he can say
really
he said both things.
It's a thing. It's a sort of a, just a battle it out in the airwaves. Tell my supporters that nothing that ever comes out of law enforcement is going to be true anyway, so we don't have to worry about it. Effort from Trump and Rudy is that's his job. And then the Raskins, the couple on the legal team, you know, Emmett Flood, they're, you know, somewhere in a basement working hard, but you never hear from them. And it's sort of Rudy's job, even when he makes their job harder, to just keep on blabbing on and on. It has nothing to do with the legal strategy, because he was never going to sit down with Mueller. Mm. I mean, that needs to be made clear. That was not going to happen.
Okay. A house is good for America.
It's a harder question.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. No. I mean, that's what's so awful is that you know that we finally see this pushback from the national security community, basically saying it's not about what John Brennan says, and we don't even have to agree with what John Brennan says, or you know when he criticizes you, Mr. President. It's about the fact that you can't politicize these clearances and pretend that, you know, you had a right to take them away for a national security reason when you basically admitted it's all about politics. I mean, that's the only pushback we've ever seen, because members of his own party in Congress are happy to let all of this happen. The word salad, the no truth, they don't say a thing. They're happy with it.
All right. Okay. I know this is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to try it anyway. There's going to be a moment where I predict that this will not end well for Donald Trump, one way or the other. Something is going to come out, something maybe not even what we're expecting. It could be something that comes out of left field here that may be tangentially related to it, right? That just whether it's his taxes or something else with Russia, you know, he's floating in the interview with Reuters, he's floating, canceling the Russia sanctions, right? I mean, there's something weird is going to happen that may or may not be related to this. And then the question is for Republicans who have stood by him. How do they unwind? How do they get all of the sinew off of them from his Mr. Creosote-like explosion when it occurs?
Yeah. I know they'll want the truth back when there's a Democrat who with a very good chance of taking the White House back. And I'm not even saying that's 2020, but whenever Democrats get power back, Republicans will want the truth back.
Right.
And the question is, do they deserve it? I mean, did they stand up for the free press? Did they stand up for our norms? Did they stand up for our institutions when it mattered? Do they protect and defend law enforcement? Did they pressure the president and remind him that his office, his job is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and not to malign people on Twitter? I mean, they've never said a thing. And so are they just all going to quit and go home? I mean, I really wonder about this. I think actually if the Democrats, and I've probably said on your show before, I think if Democrats take the House back, the president will win in 2020 because he'll have an effective foil. And I think they'll overreach and, you know, bend over backwards into a pretzel because they're having their own sort of intra-party nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
I think if the Republicans hang on in the House by 5 or 9 seats, I think the president's more likely to lose in 2020. And I think the president will blame them every day. And when they get the Mueller report in their laps, that's going to be a real reckoning for them.
Right,
if they're in charge of the government still.
Right, because the Mueller report is there's going to be something in that Mueller report that's going to be enough to take the middle folks out. You know,
right.
There's a lot of people
right.
in the center right.
About, right.
Who are
It'll be something
they,
about his family or his close associates, and if someone else can be indictable, even if he's not.
Right.
And it will be evidence based, and he'll slip out and ask them to say it's not true.
Well, aren't there?
And it'll be their choice.
You know, there is the very, you know, it's a shrinking populace of people, I think, who can stop and say, listen, this is Donald Trump. He is always right. Right? There's a very few people who
yeah.
do that. Even, but they don't want anybody from outside telling them that. They're kind of coming to it on their own. The question is, they still want all of the fringe benefits that come with Donald Trump. They want, if you're in coal country, they love the idea that he's going back to coal. He's going after the windmills because they kill birds, but he doesn't seem to care about the fish in the ocean, right? I mean, it's like, it's whatever is a convenient truth or a fungible truth works for him. And this is, and it sort of worked for all of his constituencies, but at some point they're going to come, he is going to come for them. That's the problem. He can't help himself. At some point, he will come after. If they turn on him or they get a little soft on him, for whatever reason, and might be a very good reason, right? Because how about all the farmers who are making all the money off the wind? Because they got the windmills on their farms, right?
How about the farmers who are suffering under the tariffs? And the,
right.
It's not just their farms. Their whole communities depend on the success of the farm. So we're really going to see if there is no win to the trade war by like January, February, March, what's the answer?
You're also going to see something else that's going to happen here that's going to freak out America, which is in April of next year when people who file complicated tax returns. Many of them are Republicans. Many, 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 many of them are Republicans. And they see in real time what little difference this makes to them, because they're going to be paying more taxes, especially in people in high tax states. So this, and I know he doesn't care because he didn't carry those states. He doesn't really care. But there are states like Wisconsin that he did carry barely.
Yeah.
That are high tax states that they're going to see that they're not getting the kind of benefit they think they're going to get because they're ending up paying so much more, and all these deductions that they've been taking for years they're not going to be able to take. And what happens then when those deductions, those businesses that they were deducting, what happens to those industries that no longer benefit from you know, medium to high net worth folks using those as deductions? What's going to happen to property taxes? What's going to happen to mortgage rates?
Because Republicans really are running on economy and tax cuts and the tax cut plan.
Right, and that's why you see him panicking about the Fed raising interest rates, because he's worried about, you know, what is sort of going to hit in 2020, which is, are you still in a trade war? Have companies that got a temporary boost, a windfall from the tax cut, ever actually raised wages? Do people think their wages have been raised and their taxes have been cut? Was that tax cut permanent?
Right.
And that he is anticipating a freak out a year, like you said, a year, starting sort of 9 months to 18 months from now, the pain could hit. And that's why he's freaking out about interest rates.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're giving him credit for thinking ahead, but I think that that's a reality. You know, you talk to people who are in the housing industry, and they're looking at this because they're looking, especially in places like Illinois, and in markets like Chicago, where you have expensive properties, high property taxes,
right,
and then
yeah.
you're maxing out. And it's, I know it's this is, you know, these are, you know, rich people problems. But the rich people are the ones who are like, yeah, okay, we're gonna put, yeah, we'll put up with him. He's nutty, but he, and the, you know, the farmers love him, and we'll just put up with him because it's gonna be good for our business. But in the long run, it is not going to be good for those, for, you know, people in New York and in Chicago and in Los Angeles, the rich Republicans. And there are very rich Republicans, and we got one who's a governor of the state who's scared poopless about mentioning Donald Trump, and being scared poopless Donald Trump's gonna mention him and sink him. Right? I mean, so it's like, it is a whole other, it's a whole other world. And I just don't think that this, you, they can only live on this when it's in theory, but when it's in practice, after people start doing their taxes after the first of the year and they figure out what it is that they're really not getting, there's going to be a whole other set of ramifications for this. It was like what happened with Obamacare. Remember in Obamacare, they had, the last trigger was in 2016 because he knew he was gone.
That's right, and that was right? Most painful.
Exactly.
Don't forget,
yeah,
it was the most painful, most painful trigger. Remember?
Yeah,
it was like the in terms of what you paid in a penalty was a big number jumped up.
So this was, so when you have that, and these guys they plan it that way. All right, I'm not feeling better, AB.
No.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
Neither am I.
I just am not.
Yeah. Next time we talk, though, is he going to be running the Mueller investigation? That's the question of the night.
Well, don't you think that's the third rail for him? If he goes there, it's kind of...
But why would he be dangling it out there? Isn't that a strange thing to tell Reuters this afternoon? That I could take over?
It's so bizarre. Yeah. It sounds like he's researched it.
That's right. It did sound like
so strange.
Should he call Don McGahn and ask him? Because I have three or four other questions for Don McGahn before I got to that. If I were him, but
I have two words about the Don McGahn story. Two words. 30 hours. 30 hours. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, they didn't have him back.
If he were an insignificant witness, it would all be over in five. Right.
Right. If they wouldn't have him back if they weren't getting what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's something to remember. Although Manafort trial, the jury asked for an extra hour and 15 minutes tonight. Just very quickly, as somebody who watches these things, I have my own prediction about what this means. That they wanted to come together. They're close. They want to come back tomorrow morning, do one final thing, and then get out of there by lunch, is my guess. That's probably not good for Manafort, because that means at the very best for him, it's a mixed verdict. If they come back, if they've asked for an extra hour and 15 minutes, if they're still deadlocked, they would have walked out of here at 5 o'clock today.
Right. I think it's going to be a mixed. I think he's going to be convicted on some counts and not all of them.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be this whole debate about the bias of Judge Ellis, and, you know, we're going to get the transcripts of the bench meetings, and it's going to be really interesting. But I agree with you. I think it's going to be a mixed bag.
Let's zoom right past that to will Trump pardon him? Because by 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, the story will be, will Trump pardon him? Because it'll be mixed.
Right.
Go, well, he was guilty of all of it, and it's all a witch hunt, and it's all this, and it's all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always find a way. You know, because they're selling.
Right.
You know, they're like market. They're like, we had a market here in Chicago for years, the Maxwell Street Market, and guys were trying to sell you socks for $10 a pair because they had magic qualities. I mean, that's what these guys are doing. They're selling you magic socks all day long. And now
I can't say he's not going to do it, because then I'll be a fool. So I'm not going to rule it out.
All right, good.
I'm
going to
rule it out.
Go enjoy the rest of your evening. Now they've ruined it. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks, AB.
You too. Bye. Bye.
Yeah, that's kind of what we get there. Did you ever see that? Did you ever?
I never bought the socks. I always
had a guy. The guy would sell magic socks.
No, I never saw that. But what I used to, friends at high school at Lane Tech used to say, if someone steals your bike, you go to Maxwell Street the following weekend, you try to buy it back.
Yeah,
that was the rule.
That's the other part.
But
of
I don't
this.
Remember the socks. The socks.
Yeah, there were. I mean, depending on
$10, that sounds crazy high.
Well, you
they
oh,
better
but
have
the
magical
stall
qualities.
Next to it, you get 20 socks for $2. 20 pair for $2. They were all rolled up.
Yeah, there's a store on Roosevelt right by the highway. We used to go and get socks from, like, containers. Like 100 of them for like $10.
Yeah.
Containers.
Yeah, but there was a guy that, because there was a guy who had to do those stalls on Maxwell Street. There was a guy who always had to try, he was upselling all of the tourists and the looky-loos, and the people like, oh, isn't this wonderful? Look at this. Look at all these people buying these things.
Did you have, like, the Chicago flag on them? They're just plain white socks?
Yeah, like, they were like, you know, it's not dissimilar from what Tom Brady is doing. where he's selling you socks that have some sort of curative powers to them because they've got copper or something in them.
Well, look at Tom Brady. Can you argue with the results?
Would you buy it
whatever
from
he's doing is right. Right?
Would you buy them from Tom Brady or Cheech on Maxwell Street? Which one?
Tom Brady. If he was selling them, I would buy them. Yeah. Yes, of course I would. We all know that. Cheech, no.
I bought them from Cheech.
You did?
Yeah.
How'd they feel?
Sprained my ankle the first time.
Oh,
yeah.
See?
That's what happens.
What were the magical powers that they promised when you purchased these high-priced socks?
Oh, you just run in them all day long. They were keeping... You know, they still... It's a funny thing because I think about this all the time. You know, this was back in the late 70s. And now they you go to Walgreens and they literally got these socks to claim that you could run in them all day long because they got copper going through them and they're curative and they'll make you feel better and they're cooler and they're drier and they're this and they're that and it's their socks.
It's important. Your feet have to breathe.
Yeah. And I'm like, Cheech was trying to sell me this crap 40 years ago. And now I'm standing here in the in Walgreens, and there's some corporation selling me the same thing. And that's kind of a little bit of what we're dealing with right now. You would have never believed 10 years ago that what you're seeing here was even remotely possible.
No, none of this.
You wouldn't believe that people that you knew and you respected and that you loved in a lot of cases would fall for it. And they would say the same thing. You can talk about Barack Obama all you want. Well, Barack Obama did the same thing. No, he didn't even come close to this. He lied too. He said we could all keep our health care. Yes, he lied about that. That is true. I'll give you that.
Right.
I will give you that they over-promised and under-delivered on the health care. I will give you all that. It does have to be fixed. I will give you that. But you cannot tell me that all the rest of this stuff is in any way comparable. He's trying to take over an investigation into his own campaign. He's the subject of the investigation. You can't do that.
He says he can. That's what he was telling Reuters today, that maybe I will take over. It just seems like, something I could do.
What?
That's what he said.
I mean, but again, there will be... maybe half of Republicans at that point will agree with him that he can.
Yeah, I don't think he'd have broad support on that.
Yeah, this is the thing. I mean, Republicans, these are real people, thinking people who have accomplished, the Republican Party has accomplished great things in America. And they have kept the wolves at the door in a lot of different circumstances in American history. And American conservatives and fiscal conservatives and law and order conservatives have done the same thing time and time again. This guy is none of that. The president is not a fiscal conservative. He's spending money like a sailor on Molly.
Okay. He didn't go with the drunken sailor.
I'm going with a sailor on Molly. Until it was $92 million, he was still willing to pay $50 million for a parade in Washington in his honor.
Because he liked the Bastille Day parade after he visited France.
I mean, it's just, there's no one was asking for it.
No.
We're going to spend this, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. I mean, he promises. He can get a wall. All he's got to do, first of all, it's a really simple thing. He could get the compromises. He doesn't need a wall that's going to cost all that money. He can actually get a partial wall where it makes sense. He could get surveillance where it doesn't make sense to put a wall. He could get an agreement on that. Democrats would go for that right now.
You think?
Oh, for sure.
So many of them say that no way.
Well, not before the election because it's out of the wall. But the way just has to say, all right, I'm not going to give you the whole wall. But he's afraid, and he's not going to lose his people, is he? If he softens up just a little bit, if he's not the tight badass that he claims to be.
Well, just today he talked about the wall getting longer and taller and stronger.
See, this is it.
And every day, this is his quote, every day we've spent and will soon be spending about $3.2 billion.
Right.
Every day? That's what he said. Hmm.
On which? On the wall?
On border security? Here's his quote. The wall is getting longer and taller and stronger each and every day we've spent and will soon be spending about $3.2 billion.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
The wall is getting stronger, which is not, none of that is true, right? Because the wall isn't doing anything. How is it getting bigger and stronger every day?
I
he just made, now he's just making that up. because it's because no one is because the Congress has to pay for it, right? So he's so the and there's no
it's
will
the way
to
he
do that.
Says it. We've spent and will be spending.
Right.
No, nothing has been spent.
He's trying to convince people who don't want to get bogged down the details. He's trying to give them what appears to be a reasonable detail, but nothing is a reasonable detail. It doesn't make any. What he's doing makes no real practical sense.
Hey,
if he wants to stop, if you want everybody, most people agree on border security. And when he goes, the Democrats don't agree. They want lawlessness. That's not true either. We know a lot of Democrats who don't want lawlessness. But it does, I know extremes just have to play here. But I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Ever. He's nuts. I'm telling you. All right. Can I do Judy with the news here, and then we'll come back. And it's National Radio Day, and I also have. Let's see, what else do we have to give away? We have some crazy things we want to do here in the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
I say that because in a Trumpian moment, I'm making something up because I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just going
to
go.
Very cavalry. We have to describe.
Oh, that's it.
The softer side of Jay revealed,
yep.
And Kristen can't believe her eyes, and neither can we.
Yep.
Frankly.
And it's National Radio Day, and everyone on the show has to hit the post once today.
Oh, gosh. I thought we finally get to win prizes. It's National Radio Day.
You know what? Being with me, Judy, every day is prize enough,
true.
Isn't it?
It is. You are quite the prize.
This is WGN Radio Everywhere. That's what every woman has said in my life. The WGN, and right before
but they
this
have said
moment.
It like this. They have said it this way. Yeah, you are quite the prize.
Right. And then they slam the door and they drive away. WGN Radio Everywhere, streaming live from Chicago. Here's the news with Judy Palak.